Megillah, Daf Tov Vav Amid Beis. The parak begins with the dinim of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And we'll start again from the top line. We did it already last week, we'll do again. Rabbeinu Havalei Hahu Tilat Debei Kenishta. There was an old shul that was Charev in his neighborhood. He was interested and had Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, but nobody davened there anymore. The whole thing collapsed. It was a churva. So he wanted to buy it if he would be able to plant. He wanted to use it as a farmland. So he wanted to know, are you permitted if you buy a shul and you motzi et l'chulin, you're not going to use it any longer for a shul, are you permitted to, you're not allowed to use it for a tashmin shal ganai, can't convert it into beis hakisei, or something like that. If you want to know, is this called the Tashman Shal Ganai, that you're not allowed to use it as a farm to plant? Also, the comment of Rav Ashi, he asked the Shaila. Amaleh, Rav Ashi answered Ravina. Amaleh, Ma'alim Yisra, if I'll buy it, and I'll be Mafkir, the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, am I allowed to use it as a farm? We had in the Mishnah, if the members of the shul sell the shul to another group, it retains the status of the shul. The other people have to use it as a shul. And the money that they paid to buy the building is also litvas b'kedusha, like Hegdish is, teifas dama. If Hegdish sells something to Hegdish, somebody's makdish an automobile or a building in South Africa. So what's Hegdish going to do with the building in South Africa? So the Geis Mashal Hegdish auctions it off to the highest bidder. So the Hegdish is Teifas Dama, the money that they pay in order to be Motzi, the Hegdish Lechulen, because Nitva's Big Dusha. So that's what the Mishnah says. Bnei Ho'ir, that's how the Perek began. Bnei Ho'ir, who sell a shul to another group, so they sell it to Sephardim. It started off as an Ashkenazi shul, and then there's somebody Sephardim, they buy the shul. So the shul retains the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, and the money that the Sephardim paid for the shul, they paid cash. So the money is Nitva's Big Dusha. And Malamakodesh Velom Meridni. You have to use the money for something higher than a Dusha's Beis HaKnesses. You buy a Sefer Torah, or you buy an Aron Kodesh, which has a higher level of Dusha than the Shul. But the Gemara said, when do you say that the Shul retains the Dusha and the money is Tefes Damav? That's if the board sold the Shul, Shaloi B'mai Medan Shehuir. But if they called the Shul meeting, they sent out letters, they sent emails to all the members of the shul, and they said, we want to sell the shul to be mafkir the kedusha. So if it's Zion Tuvi Ho'ir, the members of the board sold the shul, the Maimon Anshei Ho'ir, everybody was present, then the Gemara said, the kedusha is Beis HaKnesses, is poka, we're allowed to use it as a hospital, or you can make it into an apartment where people will live there. It won't retain the kedusha is Beis HaKnesses. And the money will not be nitzvah's kedusha either. You can use the money to buy beer. The Mishnah Beishichra, you can use the money to buy beer. So that was the shaila. But to sell a shul designed to be here, b'mayim and anshe here, that they should use it as a beis hakisei, that's if it's a real genai, you're not allowed to. So that was Rabbeinu Shaila. If he'll buy this designed to be here, b'mayim and anshe here, will he be allowed to use it as a farmland to plant? So Rav Ashi answered, came to Rav Ashi and asked, Mishal Ma'alim Mizre, Amalei Zil Zavne Mishayin Tuviyah B'mayman Anshuviyah. Mizorah, that's Hetagoma. It's not a Ganai like using a shul for a church. If you're going to sell a shul, and you're not going to use it for a church, that's a Bizayin that you're not allowed to do. But to use it as a farm, that's a permissible, like to use it for a private apartment. That's the din. Then we had the next Gemara. Rami Baraba Havi Kwaboni Beknishti was building a new shul. So there was an old shul in the neighborhood that they weren't using anymore. Havi Ahu Knishta Atika. There was an old shul. Havi Boile Mistre wanted to knock it down and take the beams and the bricks from the old shul. The whole community moved 10 blocks away. So they wanted to take trucks and take, dismantle the old shul and take all the beams and all the bricks and all the stones and move it to the new location and build the shul there. So we have it in, how does the Gemara present? Havi Hahik Nishta Atika, the old shul was there, 10 blocks away. Havi Boy the Mistra, they wanted to take it apart. Lasui Liv Nikshure Mino, and take the Levanim, the bricks, and the beams, the Iule Lohasam, and to move it to the new location 10 blocks away by wagon, and to build a new shul. So that was the Shaila Yosef. So who was it here? What's his name? Rami Bar Abba. Yosef Kamen Boilese. He sat and he was thinking, what's the din? Oh, the Rav Chizda, we have a din for Rav Chizda. Dom Rav Chizda, la lister beknishta, the bani beknishta achritim. Not allowed to knock down the old shul till he build a new shul. Because we're afraid he may knock down the old shul, and then he'll run out of money, and he won't be able to build the new shul. He'll be left kerech, mikami, kerech, mikami. He won't have the old shul, he won't have the new shul. In my neighborhood, when I walk up 184th Street to go to the yeshiva, it's on top of the hill. They built the church many years ago. So then they put up the sign, they're taking out the church. Temporarily, they're going to be praying services in a public school every Sunday, and they're going to raise money, and they're going to build a bigger and a fancier church on the same location. So a couple of years went by, they never raised enough money to build a new church. So we say that Bracha Baruch Shokar Avod Zara Min HaMokam Hazeh Yiratzum HaVanach HaShetakar Avod Zara from Kol Olam Kuloi. And now they have a sign up, they're not going to build the church, they're going to build an apartment house. It's already 5 years, they didn't build the church, they didn't build the new church, they didn't build the apartment building, they didn't build anything there. They ripped down the old church and went blank with that. So that's what Rav Chizda says. You're not allowed to knock down the old shul, this diminish Beit Nishta, until you build a new shul. Unless the old shul can't be used, let's say it's falling apart and it's dangerous. So then you can't use it anyway. It's dangerous to go into the building, it's collapsing. So then you can knock it down and build a new shul. But if the old shul is still usable, then you're not allowed to knock it down. On the smach, they're going to build another shul. So his shaila was, but over here, it's mamish, the same bricks, they're going to move it from here, 10 blocks away, the whole Jewish community, they move 10 blocks away. They're going to move the whole thing, maybe over here, you don't have to be choshish for pshia. That was the shaila. Maybe hosam, in the case of Rav Chizda, you're not allowed to knock it down, shum pshiyusa, but what about kihai gabna mai? What about a case like over here? You're going to mamish move the bricks and the stones and the beams to the new location. So he came to Rav Papa, he said he thinks you're not allowed to. He came to Rav and he also said you're not allowed to. So that's the din, you're not allowed to. Even though it doesn't seem that there's any foreseeable pshiyusa possible, but you can never tell. Something may come up and they may never build. So now the Gemara is going to talk about different shilas of using Kedusha's Beis HaKnes. Oh my Rav, Hai Bek Nishto, you have a shul that has a Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. So I want to exchange it. The whole community moved 10 blocks away. So I want to swap the old shul. It's a tircha. The people don't want to walk 10 blocks. The whole community moved away, 10 blocks away. So they want to take a new building in a new area and swap that, exchange that for the old one. The new building belongs to someone else. Want to give the old building to the balabasa of the new building, going to designate the new building as a shul. So the Gemara says that's permissible. Chilufa uzvuna, to exchange the old shul for a new building, uzvuna, or to sell the old shul, zayin tu lihir b'mayim adan shirir. That's shari. That's not a problem. That's what we just said in Oman Aleph. If the zayin tu lihir is sell the shul b'mayim adan shirir, the shul is yotze l'chulin. If they sell it, shaloi b'mayim adan shirir, so it retains the din of a shul by the new people. The Sfaradim bought it from the Ashkenazim, that they're going to convert. It's going to be a Sfaradi shul. But it retains the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. But if you want to be motzi et l'chulin, you have to have zayin tu lihir b'mayim adan shirir. Then the shul is yotze l'chulin, and the new building is a nichnas b'kedushas Beis HaKnesses. When they just designated it as a shul, they didn't start davening yet. That's called hazmana. So that's a machloikis. The next Gemara is going to quote from Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayin. Rashi tells you, Perek Nigmar Din Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayin. This is a machloikis Abai V'Rova. You set aside, let's say, I buy a lulav and an esrig on Erev Sukkot, but I didn't shake it yet for the mitzvah. So the din is that the esrig is hooked to the mitzvah. Or I build the sukkah. The original pasuk is by sukkah. We spoke about that. Pasuk says, So the Pasha Pshat is Chag HaSukkos Tassalacha. He should celebrate the holiday of Sukkos, Shivas Yom, for a duration of 7 days. What season of the year? When you gather in the food from the farm. All summer in Eretz Yisrael doesn't rain. Once in a while it rains for 5 minutes and it stops. Doesn't rain. So they leave all the pears, they harvest all the pears, they leave it on the farm, outside in the sun. It's not going to get ruined by the rain because it just doesn't rain. But then after Sukkot on Zion Cheshvan, you're going to start saying Talamata. So right after Sukkot is called Chag HaOsif, the ingathering season, because you want to take everything in from the farm, not to leave it outside. Shouldn't get ruined by the rain. So that's the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk. Chag HaSukkot Tassel HaChoshev HaSyom. You should celebrate Halabdiya Sukkot for a duration of 7 days at the ingathering season, before Zayin Cheshvan, before it comes to rain. So the Torah Shabbat Peh has an additional level of interpretation on the whole Pasuk. You leave out the word Chag for a moment. We'll get back to it. So the Pasuk says, Sukkos Tassalacha, you should construct the Sukkah. It's not Pshuto Shal Mikra. Pshuto Shal Mikra is you should celebrate the festival of Sukkos for a duration of 7 days. So the additional level of interpretation, that's what the Ramban points out in the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Gemara never said, Ein ba mikra ela pshuto, that the only pshat in the pasuk is pshuto shal mikra. The Gemara never said that. All the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh are additional levels of interpretation, and they're all emes. And amikri yotze midei pshuto means that pshuto shal mikra is also true. The Gemara in Shabbos tells there was one Amora who learned all of Shas by the age of 18, and he knew all of Torah Shabbat Peh, and he never heard of this klal, that the Pshuto Shal Mikra is also binding. He thought only the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh are the halacha, and the Pshuto Shal Mikra is not binding. Till one fine day, the Rebbe said, no, and Pshuto Shal Mikra is also binding. Not only the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh. Usually the teachers in elementary school, they insist that the students should give Yilani Chumash and Rashi, so they say, no, and the only pshat is pshuto shal mikra. That's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara never said, ein ba mikra ela pshut. The Gemara says, the pshuto shal mikra is also true. The Gemara points out in Yavamah, there's one pasuk where the pshuto shal mikra is not binding. The Gemara says, the pasuk says, when my married brother dies leaving no children, but he leaves an almana, so it says, I have to do yibum. The first baby, boy, who will be born, should be named after my brother who died. It shouldn't be forgotten. So the Gemara says that's the one and only pasuk in all Chamishul Chum Shetera, that the Pshuto Shal Mikra is not binding. There is no such din. The first baby boy that's born does not have to be named after the Nifter. And every phrase in the pasuk is an allusion to a din in the Torah Shabbat Peh. Oyapchor means a mitzvah, the godly yabin. Mitzvah is mutal, and the oldest surviving brother. Let's say, I don't have a brother, but I have a brother, and there are several surviving brothers. So the oldest brother has the mitzvah to do the yibon or the chalitza. Mitzvah, the godly yabin. Ashetelet means pratla islandess. If the almana never had any children because she is an islandess, her body never developed normally like a woman's body, then there's no din of yibon machalitza at all. Yokal Mashim Achiv Hanes means that the one who does Yibum Yarshins, the dead brother. Let's say the brother who died has a few living brothers. He has no children. He died without children. But he has a few surviving brothers. So let's say he died and he left the thousands of dollars in the bank. So normally you would say that money should be divided among all of his brothers. So then is no, the one who does Yibum, Yokal Mashim Achiv Hanes, the one who is Miyabim, is kind of all of the Yerusha of the Mace. Velei machish mal b'yisrael means pat le soris. Let's say the surviving brother is a soris and he can't have any children. So also there's no din of yibum v'chalitza. Just like if the alman is an islandess, there's no din yibum v'chalitza. There's an okur bakor. Okur is a person has a hormone imbalance, has some kind of a problem, he can't have any children. Okur bakor. So the couple, the one who died, either he was an Akkad, she was an Akkad. They were married for 50 years, they never had any children. Someone must have had a fertility problem. But that usually can be rectified by diet or by exercise or by other things. But if someone's a soros or an islandist, means the whole body didn't grow normally. So if the almana is an islandist or the yavam is a soros, the whole din of Yibam Machalitza, there's no zik at all. The whole din doesn't apply. So the Gemara says, that whole pasuk, there is no pshuto shon mikra there. Every phrase is an allusion to a different din in the Torah Sheba'al Peh. But the rest of the Chumash, we say the pshuto shon mikra is always binding. And in addition to the pshuto shon mikra, the additional levels of interpretation of the Torah Sheba'al Peh are also binding. So that's what the Gemara says over here. The pasuk says again. Pasuk says by Sukkos, Chag Sukkos Tasa Lachos. The pshuto shon mikra is you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkos for a duration of 7 days at the ingathering season of the year, before Zayin Cheshvan, when it's going to rain. And the Torah Shemal Peh says, leave out the word Chag for a moment. Sukkos Tasa Lachos means you should construct the sukkah Tasa V'Lemen Ha'asim. Shivas Yamim. The sukkah has to be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. If you built a sukkah and it looks like it's not going to last 7 days, it's going to collapse in the middle. Even the first day or two that it didn't collapse, you're not yotze. The sukkah must be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. And then it says, "Be'ospucham meganacham mikvecha," doesn't mean you should construct the sukkah at this season of the year. It's a beis hakeli, like you say, "Ani kosev be'eit." I am writing with a pen. You don't say I'm writing in a pen. I say, Ani Yoshev Babayis, I'm sitting in a house. Beis means in a house. But Ani Kosei Be'eit means I'm writing with a pen, not I'm writing in a pen. That's called Beis HaKeli. Here it says, Chag HaSukkos Tasa L'cha Tasa V'Lemen Ha'asi, you should construct the sukkah. You shouldn't make a Tasa V'Lemen Ha'asi. Be'os B'cha, you should construct the sukkah using what material should you use for the schap? Solas Garim V'Yekev. When you have a goren and you separate the kernels of grain from the stalks of straw, so the kernels of grain are dover hamakabel tumas, they can use it for schat, but the straw was gidule karka and it's tolish and it's dover shen hamakabel tumas. The only things that are makabel tumas are the four categories. But if you have a piece of junk that doesn't straw, that grows from the ground, the behemoth seen it, it's machal behemoth. Only Maichalodam is Makal Tumah. Straw, the cows eat the straw, the horses eat the straw. So that's not Maichalodam, it's not Makal Tumah. Those are the three conditions that are necessary that something should be kosher l'schach. Has to be Gidule Karka, Tolush, and Dovishani Makal Tumah. So that's Ba'os Becha, Sukkah's Tasalacha, you should construct the Sukkah. The Sukkah is the Schach. The Tvanas are not really the Sukkah. It's called the sukkah al shem aschach because the aschach is mesach. It makes shade. So sukkah is tasalacha bi aspecha. If you construct the aschach using solas garam the yekev, that means the three prerequisites should be gidul karka tolush and dov shein mekabel tumah. But the question is, that's a nice interpretation on the whole pasuk, but you left out the word chag. The Gemara says, according to this new additional level of interpretation of the Torah Shemal Peh, that you read Sukkah Sasalacha, the Pasuk is talking about constructing the Sukkah as a mitzvah, the Asiyah Sasukkah. So you read the Pasuk, Sukkah is hukash to a Korban Chagiga. The word Chag refers to a Korban Chagiga, or here in Pshut Shal Mikra, refers to a holiday on which you have Mukhiyev to bring a Korban Chagiga. Pesach Shavua Sukkah, you Mukhiyev to bring three Korbanas, Riyah Chagiga and Simcha. So Ria is an oilas Ria. Chagiga Simcha is a shlomen. So you read the pasuk, it goes on constructing a sukkah, and the sukkah is described as a chag, hukish to a korban chagiga. Yishem shechal shem shemaim ala chagiga, just like a korban chagiga, has an isa me'ila. It's a korban, it's kachim kalim. If you nene from a kachim kalim, there's no penalty of me'ila. But the Mishnah says in Mishnayis Me'ila, Loi Nanim Loi Moilim. If you have Kachim Kalim, you're not allowed to get Hanoah from it. If you did get Hanoah, see, there's no penalty. You don't have to pay Kerem HaChamish, you don't have to bring Hasham Me'ilas. There are six Hashamas. So one of the six Hashamas is Hasham Me'ilas. So that's how the Torah Shemal Peh interprets that Pasuk. So that Pasuk, Chag HaSukkos, that is the Sukkah, Sukkah Shlachag, That's a shaila, the Rosh and the Rambam. How much of the sukkah is huktzah l'mitzvahs? Only the schach? Because the Rosh, the Rambam writes, the whole sukkah is huktzah l'mitzvahs, including the tfanis. And the Rosh says, why? All the dinim of sukkah only apply to the schach. Tasav l'man also only goes on the schach, doesn't go on the tfanis. And gedulei karka and todesh dovashenim kabel tumah only goes on the schach. So the din of huktzah l'mitzvahs should also only go on the schach. That's the Rosh's tain against the Rambam. And we follow the Rambam. That huktzah mitzvahs, if huktzah mitzvahs would have only applied to sukkah, then you're right, then it would only apply to the schach. Because only the schach is mesach, only the schach makes shade. And that's why it's called sukkah shein mastach. But the Torah of Alter has it, that the darshan amam atzinu, that just like a sukkah is huktzah mitzvahs, and so too the esrog, huktzah mitzvahs, you're not allowed to eat it. And so to the hadasim, the huktzah the mitzvahs, you're not allowed to smell it. The esrog, the ikir thing it's aimed for is achila, so it's not huktzah the mitzvahs if it's smelling. You're permitted to smell the esrog, but the hadasim is only aimed l'reach. So the only thing it's huktzah the mitzvahs for is that you're not allowed to smell it. So once you say that the din of huktzah the mitzvahs is not restricted only to sukkah, it applies to other mitzvahs as well. So the dfanus of the sukkah loigora from the shofar that is huktzah l'mitzvahs, it's loigora from the esrog and from the hadasim. Any heftah shel mitzvah is huktzah l'mitzvahs. If it would have only applied to sukkah, then you can say like the Rosh, it only applies to the schach part of the sukkah. The dfanus are not called sukkah. But since we extend it, we say amamatzinu. But just like sukkah is chal shem shamayim ala sukkah, huktzah l'mitzvahs, so too the esrog, and so too the hadasim. The esrog is huktzah l'mitzvahs al achila. The hadasim are huktzah l'mitzvahs al gabi reyach. So you say the finest of the sukkah are also huktzah l'mitzvahs. Everything is huktzah l'mitzvahs. So there's a machlokes Abai v'Rav in Sanhedrin. What if I bought this beautiful esrog on erev sukkahs? I didn't shake it for the mitzvah yet. I was mazmin it. I set it aside to use it for sukkahs. Or I built the sukkah, but it's Arab sukkahs. I didn't sit in the sukkah yet. I was mazmin the sukkah for the mitzvah, but I didn't sit, I didn't begin to use it for the mitzvah. So Abai is of the opinion, hazmana milsi. It's already hooked to the mitzvah, say, before you even shake the lulav, and before you even sit in the sukkah. And Rava disagrees, and he says, no, we pass like Rava. Whenever the Machlokes Abai v'Rava, the Amoraim voted on all the issues, and it turned out that the consensus over the years always was like Rava, except for the six cases, the Yal Kigam. So this is not one of the six cases where we pass like Abai. So we pass like Rava that has Mon Alam Milsehi. If he set aside a lulav for the mitzvah, he set aside a sukkah, but you didn't use it yet for the mitzvah, it's not yet hooked to the mitzvah. Yeah, it could be that there never was a machloikas abai v'rav in this case. The original machloikas abai v'rav is somebody died and the relatives went to the store and they bought tachrichim. So the din is that a mace is also b'hanoah and mishamshah mace are also b'hanoah. So Meis is also about Noah, that the Gemara says based on Exer Rishova. It says, Vatomash and Miriam Vatikov Hashem. It says, by Miriam, she died and they buried her. So the Gemara says, you derive Exer Rishova, Sham Sham, me Egla Arufa. But Egla Arufa is a din. If you find a Jewish body murdered in Eretz Yisrael, Lo Noda Mihiko, you have no idea, nobody knows who the murderer is. If there's a Dechod who saw the murderer, so then there's no din of Egla Rufa. But lo no the mihiko. Nobody knows who the murderer is. So the Rambam writes in the Mor in the Buchim, the Torah gave us this strange mitzvah to bring an Egla Rufa. They should write it up in all the newspapers and everybody should be talking about it. Maybe a witness or two will show up and the police will be able to arrest the murderer. It will do such a strange mitzvah, it'll bring a lot of attention. So we may discover who killed this poor man. So the din is, you have to, Sanhedrin sentence representatives to measure from the dead body to the cities in the surrounding area, which is the closest city. The city that's closest to the murdered dead body, has to bring an egg la'arufa. So the pasuk says, "V'orfu shamas ha'egla banachal." They should do arifa. They chop off the neck. They kill the egla, and it's also bano. Egla rufa la'achar arifa is also bano. So how do you know? It says in the Chumash, you chop off the neck. Who says that it's also bano? Maybe the egla rufa is buta bano. It's not a carbon. Egla rufa is not a carbon. You did a mitzvah with it. Who says that it's also bano? So the Gemara says, Kapara ksiv bo kikotchin. It says the Kohanim who live in that city, which is the closest city to the murdered dead body, after the Bezdin does the Arifa on the Egla Rufa, they have to go to Nachal Eson. That's a big question. What is Nachal? Nachal sometimes means a valley and sometimes it means a river. So the word Nachal Eson means kosher, Eson. So some Mishnayim said the Rambam learns Nachal is a river that flows with a big strength. Nachal Eisan, a river that's kosher, goes with koyach. Rashi learned no, Nachal is a valley where nothing grows. Eisan, it's very kosher, karka kosher. Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam in the Pirush Hamilas, when the Ira Kreva Lachola has to bring an Egla Rufa, they can't do it in the neighborhood. They have to go find the Nachal Eisan. So that's a big machlokes, whether Nachal Eisan means a river that flows, that rushes bekoyach, or it means a valley that's not usable, that nothing ever grows over there. So they have to, so the Ziknei Huirahi have to do Arifa on the Egla Rufa, then the Kohanim of the city have to recite Karpel Amcha Yisrael Shepadis Hashem. Just like the Kohanim Amakrit Karbon, this is not a carbon. Egla Rufa is not a carbon. So just like the Kohanim, my macro carbonus and the Beis HaMikdash, they bring a kapore to those who bring the carbonus. So to over here, they pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the people in the city should be forgiven. Forgive all the people. We don't know who the murderer is, so don't hold us responsible for the murder of this poor man. So the Gemara says, kapore ksid bo kikotchin. Since the Kohanim say, in connection with Egel HaRufo, that's how you establish Egel HaRufa is Osabano. So what they name a mace, a Jewish mace, is Osabano because it says, Atom Shamir Yamatiko V'Sham. So it's Xerishav V'Sham Sham Egel HaRufa. Here it says, V'Orfu Sham is Egel HaBanachal. There it says, V'Atom Shamir Yamatiko V'Sham. So it's Xerishav. So the Tesis assumes that it's a real Din Deraisa, that a mace, is, a Jewish mace, is Osabano. Is a real din deraisa. The only thing Taisus in two mesichtas has two deis, whether only bisar hameis is also ba'ano min haTorah, or maybe or hameis also. Let's say the skin. The skin, I always thought that the skin is the top of the basar. So I thought the skin is included in basar. So Taisus says it's not true, it's a different composition, apparently biologically. It's a different thing. The Bisar HaMeis, Taisus holds also Bano Amin HaTorah. And Or HaMeis is two days in Taisus, in two different Mesichtas, but the Or HaMeis is an Isa HaNod Deraisa or an Isa HaNod Derabona. That's two days in Taisus. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, he talks about a cornea. So a cornea is the same type of material like the Or, not the same material as the Basar. So that'll be two opinions, whether the cornea of a mace is also ba'no min haTorah, or also ba'no min derabbanan, nafka mina ledina in different cases. Yeah. On Shabbos, sometimes we allow for a chole sheyesh bo sakona, we allow you to violate Shabbos even on the level of deraisa. We don't allow any deraisas. You only allow one to violate sometimes the rabbonans. So that's what Rabbi Moshe Feinstein talks about. Let's say a person is blind on one eye, but he can see with the other eye. So blind people usually, I think, die younger than people who can see because they don't see what they're doing and they always get into trouble. So the Pashto says if a person is blind on both eyes, you're probably permitted even to violate, even if there would be a mace, would be osa ba'anam in haTorah. It would probably be pikuach nefesh, it probably would extend the life of the person who's blind on both eyes by giving him eyesight, because if he'll be able to see, be able to take care of himself better. He won't get into trouble like blind people. I think blind people probably die younger than others. Yeah. So that's a shaila. The Mishnah LaMelech was a Sfardi. Mishnah LaMelech, a major chibran on the bottom of the page on the Rambam. So the Mishnah LaMelech refers to the Balei HaTosfos as the Ashkenazim. He says he's not so convinced that the Ashkenazim are right. Tosfos assumes that the Gemara learns Shamsham Egla Rufa, just like Egla Rufa Zosabano, because Kaporek Sibok Kikotchim Zosabano Minatoira. So Meis, because it says Vatomishamim Vatikav Sham 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 Zereshava, so Meis Israel Zosabano Minatoira. So he says he's not so convinced that the Gemara meant it as a real Drosha Gemara Zereshava Minatoira. Maybe it's only an Asmachta Midrabon. He said, Achenu Ashkenazim, he usually refers to the Shach or the Ramah, here he's referring to the Balei HaTosfos. Achenu Ashkenazim assumed that a Meis also Banos Menatorah is not so convinced. But that's what we usually assume. Besar HaMeis also Banos Menatorah, and Or HaMeis, that's 2 days. So Ramah Shem said there's room to be Mekel, then maybe Or HaMeis only also Banos Midirabonon. Yeah, this then in Shulchan Aruch it says, they even may say Akum. Even a Goyshem Meis is also Asabahanoa. So the Bi'er Agro shows that it's against all the Gemaras. There's a Taisus in Bava Kama says Beferish, that Meisei Akam Amutabahanoa, the first parak in Bava Kama. Meisei Akam Amutabahanoa, and there are Gemaras also Beferish. So we assume that that Ramoa, who quotes from the Rishonim, that Meisei Akam are also Asabahanoa, it's only a Chumre Midrabonim. The Rishonim came up with it. Menatoire, the Isser is only like Vatamish and Miriam. Miriam was Jewish. So the Pasuk only says, An Mesa Yisrael, Arasabano Menatoire. In medical schools, for many generations, they always require that the students who are studying medicine should have a cadaver, and that in order to learn anatomy, they should cut up the cadaver, they should dissect it, and they should learn how to handle. They shouldn't just learn theoretically or on the internet to see the way they do surgery on the body. They should handle it. They assume that they'll become better doctors if they cut up the dead body and they learn anatomy by handling a real dead body. So if it's a Jewish dead body, there are 3 prohibitions involved. First of all, bitl mitzvahs kvur is a din when you have a Jewish dead body. Kovetit b'rena b'yom ahu, supposed to bury him at the first available opportunity, preferably before Shkia. Kovetik b'rena b'yamahu, before the Shkia. If it's too late, then it's not shaykh to bury before the Shkia. So then the second best is the solen nivlas al hayz, don't do halonas ameis. Halonas ameis is if you wait till alos al shachar. So if you can't bury the mace, he died 5 minutes before the Shkia. So you're not going to bury him in the medical school. So let's say he dies in the hospital. So you're not going to bury him in the grave outside. There's no grave outside of the hospital. So you got to bury him in the cemetery. So you can't take him to the cemetery in 5 minutes. But L'chatchila should try to bury him before Alos HaShachar, not to violate Lo Solin Nivlasa. Alonis HaMeis is, if you leave over the mace till Alos HaShachar the next month. The Mishnah says, Hey, Lineu L'chvodo, that's what they usually do today. We call up all the relatives. So it takes a day or two, or sometimes longer, till all the relatives can come. The Arba Confessoris, the make covered ameis, they show up to the funeral. So the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that Helineu lechvodo, if you left over the mace, the covered ameis, then it's mutter. Then there's no violation of halonas ameis, and you can leave it over a day or two. That's what they usually do today. So if you have a cadaver in the dormitory, in the medical school, so you're not burying it. So if it's a Jewish mace, you're violating the din of kavati b'rena b'yamahu. Number two, a mace is also b'hano. You're learning anatomy. You're learning the chachma of anatomy by dealing, by handling with the mace. Number three, it's a violation of nivel hamace, because they're going to cut it up. They're going to dissect it. So you're not allowed to do nivel hamace. So we assume the ikar adin, all of the 3 dinim, the bitla mitzvah kvura, and the iser hanoah, and the Nivel HaMeis, all 3 prohibitions, all 3 issues only apply to Meisei Yisrael. If it's Meisei Yakum in a Torah, everything is mutter. It's metame. That is a problem. Meisei Yakum on metame, just a machlekes in Tanoim and a machlekes that we showed him how to paskim. But the Meisei Yakum on metame ba'ohel. So in the Shulchan Aruch, both the Mechaber and the Ramah say that the proper thing is to be machmer for the Shitas HaTanoim and the Shitas HaRishon and the Meisei Yakum Amitami Ba'ohel. So it's not right that you have a medical school and you have sometimes Kohanim come to visit there. They invite a rabbi to give a shir in the medical school and their dormitory has Meisei Yakum in it. So he's not allowed to go into the building. I remember once we had a family Sheva Brachas that was going to take place in Einstein in the cafeteria. So I think the cafeteria used to be, maybe it still is, I don't know. Cafeteria was in the same building as the dormitory. So one of the relatives called up on the phone. They wanted to know, are there any dead bodies in the building where the Sheva Brachas is going to be? So the people in the cafeteria didn't understand what the Shaila was. So they said on the phone, we assure you that there are no dead bodies mixed into the food. You don't have to worry about that. So they said, no, they're worried about Kohanim. That some of the relatives who wanted to come to celebrate the Sheva Brachas are Kohanim. They're not allowed to be in oil or mace. And the Shulchan Aruch says that it's a machlokes hatanoim, where the mace yakam ha-metami ba-ohel, roni metami b'mago b'masa. So both the Mechaber and the Ramos say it's nochan lahachmir, that may say akamamitame ba'ohel also. You shouldn't be in the oil ames. Now they have a new thing that when people are diagnosed that they're going to have early dementia, so the doctors are experimenting. They think if you ingest stem cells from fetuses, so this will postpone the dementia. So that who are the stem cells from? They're from Jewish Mason, but from Goyish Mason. So in America, the right of the people in America are nochrim. So Mikra Din, you go basar right, you have the right to assume that if you're going to eat stem cells, they're going to be stem cells from a Goy. And Mikra Din, Mesi Akamamutabano, it's only a chumrim of the Rabbanon, but the Makam Mitzvah will make it. That's what they quote from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. For so many years, the Jews went to medical school and they would always learn anatomy by dealing with a non-Jewish cadaver. Shulchan Aruch says, Meisei Yakum Arosa Bahanoa Midi Rabbanan. So he said, B'moka Mitzvah is Mutter. He's doing a mitzvah. He's going to medical school in order to save people's lives later on. So as long as there's a shtick on Moka Mitzvah, we would be mekel to say Meisei Yakum Arosa. Here also, And even if it turns out that you're eating a stem cell from a Jewish fetus, which is also banam in our Torah, let's say Mesi Yisrael, Mesi Yisrael is also banam in our Torah, according to the Taisus, the Mishnah Melech wasn't so convinced. He thought that even Mesi also banam, maybe the whole din is only mid the Rabbanon, maybe the Zerushav Shamsham was only intended as an asmachta. But even if you hold like the Tosfos, that's what we assume. Meisei Yisrael Arosa Banam Min HaTorah. But it could be that this is called Pikuach Nefesh. I remember we were learning Hilchas Tisha B'Av. So Rabbi Kiveger writes on the side of the page in Hilchas Tisha B'Av in Shulchan Aruch that we have a meaning, we don't eat flesh in the 9 days. But what if a person is Chosadeya? He had dementia or something, or he lost his seichel, and he's recovering, he's getting back to normalcy, and in order to get back to his good health, his mental health, he has to eat healthy, fleshig meals, fatty, fleshig meals. That's what they used to say years ago. Rabbi Kivega says, since he's a chayla, and he's recovering, so you're not mechuyev to observe this minig. He's permitted to have flesh in the 9 days. Some achrayim say a woman who's a nida, based nidas is losing blood, so she's going to feel weaker than she normally does, so she's permitted to have flesh in the 9 days. A nida is a shtikel choyle she'en b'sakona. She's not up to par in her strength, so we would allow her to have whenever there's a minik. So you don't have to even be a choyle she'en b'sakona to violate a minik. to violate a din, the rabbanim have to be at least a chodesh shem b'sakana. To violate a minig, if it's a mechesh b'yalma, if he's a little weak, he's not up to par, also you make him. Also you make him. So that's what Rabbi Kevega is mekel for a choli hanefesh, and he's recovering, coming back to normal, we would allow him to eat flesh in the 9 days. So when we learned that, Rabbi Kevega, Sir Rab Soloveitchik said, he heard from his grandfather, Rab Chaim, that if a person is chosadeya, he's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. He's allowed to violate the din deraisa. That's considered pikuach nefesh. Not only is it, Rab Moshe Feinstein has a Rashi in Maseches Tainis. We know that Rashi, the Pirush Rashi on Maseches Tainis, is not by Rashi. It's by someone else, and it's not reliable. But the Rashi on Tainis writes, if a person is not all there, so you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to take care of him, because he may not know what he's doing. He may commit suicide. He may fall into the river without, he may drown if he doesn't know what he's doing. So Rav Moshe assumes that you're only allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if a person is Chosadeya, if there's a chance that he may accidentally commit suicide, he may fall over the bridge, he may fall into the river, he may drown. But if he's just lay in bed and wither away, he won't know what he's doing. He'll just sleep in bed all day long. That's not called pikuach nefesh. So Rab Soloveitchik said, b'shem Rab Chaim, that to be a chosadeya, that's also a pikuach nefesh. The pasuk describes, v'yipach pi'apav nishmas chayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu breathes life into Adam HaRishon, v'yihi ha'adam lenefesh chayim. So the Targum Onkelos points out the nefesh chayim l'ruach memalalo. Rab Chaim Volozhin and Nefesh HaChayim in his Sefer on Hashkof and Emuna points out this Targum Onkelos. What does that mean? So Rab Soloveitchik said, B'shem Rab Chaim, Ruach Memalo means coherent speech. That we divide everything in the world into four categories. Darin Tzameh Chaim Medaber. A human being is called Medaber. If he has coherent speech, then he's called a human being. If he's incoherent, he's a chasadeya, then that's called a labardas, is like a mace. So that's considered, in a certain sense, that's called pikuach nefesh. A person has dementia, he doesn't know what he's doing. And there's a way to bring it back to normalcy by being mechal Shabbos, or by eating treifas, or by getting hanoa from a mace, even if it's a stem cell from a Jewish mace, which we would assume is also banah min haTorah. They see so we assume like this, also by Noam in HaTorah. But that's called Pikuach Nefesh. Rab Chaim held that's called Pikuach Nefesh. Shivutaka would be mutna. Someone asked me that, John. If you're allowed to consider that a man was diagnosed as having early dementia, and they said the way to take care of it, to deal with it, is to eat these stem cells. So they assumed there's no shayla certainly also. Not so poshut. The likelihood is that the stem cells are from Nochrim, that the Jews are the mute in America. And even if it would be Bevadai, the Odua from a Jew, even if it's Deraisa, like Tesis, but that's Rab Chaim Hel, that's called Pikuach Nefesh. So Meis is also Ba'anor, we assume is Menator. Tachrichim, Mishamsha Meis, Rabbi Kivege has a Tshuva, and the Tshuvas HaChadoshes. There are several volumes of Tshuvas, Rabbi Kivege. So in the Tinyana, the second volume of Chuvas Rabbi Kevega, he quotes a machlekes achronim about that on the assumption that meis is also banor min haTorah. What about tachrichim nishamshi ameis? Is that the raisa de rabbanim? So if someone died already, and I was orig beged lameis, I prepare tachrichim. If I'm still alive and I go to the store and I buy tachrichim, no one says hazmana milsehi, that the tachrichim become masabano. I'm still alive. You can't call it misham shanes. The guy's not a mace yet. But if the person died already, and I go to the store and I buy tachrichim, so when I put the tachrichim on the mace, and it's actually mishamish the mace, but poil mamish, it's on the mace, then it's tachrichim, then it's masabano. Either menatar midrabbana, depending on the machlekes achronim that Rabbi Kivege quoted. But I was mazman, I bought the tachrichim for the mace. He died already, I bought the tachrichim, or as orig beged le mace, but I didn't put it on the mace yet. So that's the machloikas abai v'rov, abai holds hazmana milsehi. It's already called mishtamshe ha-mace al-shem ha-asid. You don't have to have that it's mishamish the meis mamish. I plan to have it be mishamish the meis. So it's already asa bahano. And we pass like Rava. It's only mishamish the meis, or only asa bahano, and actually mishamish the meis b'poel mamish. So that's by tashmishei mishamshe hameis. Let's say a person is about to die. Person is about to die. He's a geisus. They say he's already asa bahano. No, he's not the mace till he dies. So let's say I bought an esrig or hadassim, and I didn't use it yet to be yotzei de mitzvah. So if you hold hasmana, if you hold the din would be like abaye, that hasmana milsahi. So that's a big question. The balamor on sukkah daftes, there's a famous balamor. Balamor sounds like he contradicts himself in the Neyubay. So, the Mefarshim explained the Balamah. Balamah holds the Machloikas Abai V'Rava, whether Hazmana Milsi or not, is only by Mishamshei Hameis, or Tashmishei Mitzvah. By the Gufei Kedusha, nobody holds. Like a person is about to die. No one says he's about to die, he says he's ready, Asabana. He's Asabana when he dies. So if you have an Esri, it's going to be hooked to the Mitzvah Sai, Lachila. And hadasim gonna hit some mitzvahs that linya reich to smell. It's only if he actually used it. If I set it aside on erev sukkahs to use it for the dalad minim, no one would say hasmana milsei. When does abai hold hasmana milsei? By mishamshe hameis. By mishamshe hameis. Abai holds it's called mishamshe hameis al shem ha'asid. Since I designated that I plan to wrap the mace in the tachrichim, so it's already called mishamshe hameis. Because I'm going to use it. But on the esrig itself, no one, by the Gufi Kedusha, by the Gufa Dover, you can't say. No one would say that it's already. Let's say I have a pair of tefillin, and I go to the store, I buy tefillin zekel. I'm going to put the tefillin in this tefillin zekel. So the according to Abai, the tefillin zekel already has the status of Tashmishi Kedusha, even though I didn't put it in. But if I'm going to make a pair of tefillin, and I didn't make it yet. So do you have nothing? You have nothing there. So even Abai would say, by Guf HaDover, no one would say Hazmana Milsi. Only by Mishamshei HaMeis, or Tashmishi Kedusha, there you can say that Hazmana Milsi. There is an opinion in Shulchan Aruch, Fakert, but it really, the Netziv points out, it really doesn't, the Netziv in his commentary on the Shulchan has this, and the Balamor has the whole thing in Sukkah. On Daf Tes, that the only time there's a machlekes by the Hazmana Milsahi or not is only by Mishamshei. Abai holds it's called Mishamshei because I designated it to be Mishamesh. It's already called Tashmishi Ameis or Tashmishi Kedusha. Even I didn't put the tefillin in exactly yet. I bought a mental for the Sefer Torah Gartlin. I didn't use it yet, but I already have a Sefer Torah. So it's already called Mishamshei HaSefer Torah Al Shem HaAsid. But if I don't have a Sefer Torah, I'm writing a Sefer Torah, so you're going to say the Sefer Torah is already Asa Bahano before you even wrote it. Nobody would say like that. So that's what the Gemara says over here. The Gemara says, again, Amar Rav, we just learned the Gemara, Hai Beit Kanishta, if you have a shul, and the whole community moved 10 blocks away, and there's a building there, so they want to switch, they want to give away the shul to the owner of the building. The owner of the building should give the new building, designate that for a shul. So, chalufa uzvuna, if you want to swap the old building for the new building, or you want to sell the old building to get the money, shori, if you sell zayin tu v'hiv v'may menanshe here, you motzi l'chulin, no problem. However, ogura, but if you get the shul, they have an old shul that they don't use anymore. They moved to the new location, they made a new shul. And they weren't mafkir the kedusha of the old shul yet. They want to rent it out, that someone should live in the old building. The Gemara says, no, it still has kedusha's beis haknesses. You can't rent it out. Ogura. You can't rent it out. Omashkona. The shul wants to borrow money to build whatever. So they want to give the old shul as a mashkin. What do you mean an amashkin? It's uktzel mitzvasai. You're not allowed to give it as a mashkin. You can't rent it out to make rent. Unless the shul owns an apartment building. But if the shul has the sanctuary that they used to daven in, that it was hooked to the mitzvah, then they can't rent it out to make money. It still has kedusha beis haknesses. But the Gemara says, why? My timer, why are you not permitted to rent it out, to give it away as a mashkin? Because kedusha asakoi, because it retains the kedusha. You have to sell it, zayin tuvi, but my manantri, to be makfiya the kedusha. Yeah. What about Livne Nami? What if you have the old bricks? You have an old shul, and it fell apart, and you have all the old bricks. So they were hooked to the mitzvasa. They used to have a kedushas beis haknesses. Kedusha beis haknesses is on the latitude and the longitude, the makam, and on the bricks, on the hefts of the bricks that they used for the shul. So Livne Nami, the brick, the levenim, the bricks of the old shul also. Chilufinu zabuninu shari. If we're going to exchange the old bricks for new bricks, or we're going to sell the old bricks, Zayin Tuvia B'mayim Anashim, we're going to sell the old bricks, use the bricks to build an apartment building, do whatever you want. So if the Zayin Tuvia or sell the bricks B'mayim Anashim here, then Shari, that's Muta. But Oisfinu means I'm gonna lend them out to someone, they should use the bricks, then they're going to use it, we're going to rent out the bricks, and then they're going to give it back. So it still has Kedusha. You weren't matkir the Kedusha yet. So that's also. So then the Gemara says, Vahani Mili, when do we say that the bricks have Kedusha's beis haknesses, and Kolzman, you didn't sell it Zayin Tuvia B'mayim Anashim, you're not allowed to use it for secular purpose. Vahani Mili, Batikta. If it's an old shul that once had a Kedusha's beis haknesses, not only on the latitude and the longitude, the makam on the globe where the shul used to be, but also on the bricks, the cheps of the bricks. But if I have new bricks that I never put into the shul yet, I designated the bricks, I'm going to build the shul with the bricks. No one holds that the bricks are already. Even if you hold like Abai, who holds in Sanhedrin, then Hasmana Milsi, we don't paskan like Abai, we paskan like Rabbi. Hasmana La Milsi, but even if the din would have been, even if the din would have been like Abaye, no, Hanimili Kigon, hurry, beg it la mace. If the person died already, and then you designate tachri, either you buy tachrichim, or you stitch, or you knit, and you make the tachrichim. Let's say I buy a spool of thread, someone died, and I plan to make tachrichim. I buy a spool of thread, and I'm going to make tachrichim. So it's the way it is now, it's just a spool of thread. You can't say it's Misham Shehameis. Abaye says, Hasmana Milsehi, it's called Misham Shehameis, Al Shem Ha'asid, because it's designated to serve the way it is now. But if it's Tevi Lariga, it's only a spool of thread. It's not yet in the form of a beged of Tachrichen. And nobody holds Hasmana Milsehi. Nobody would say over there, Hasmana Milsehi, but it does matter, no one would say. We pass like Robert, that Hasmana Lav Milsehi. They quote the name of Rav Elbala Soloveitchik, an interesting comment on the parsha that we just read, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, that Moshe Rabbeinu told over to Bezalel, the dinim, that he should first, he should build the Mishkan. He should first make the Kelim, make a menorah and a shulchan and mizbachas and so on, and then he should make a mishkan. And Bezalel did faker. Bezalel first made the mishkan, and then he made the kelim. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Wow, Bezalel kel ha'isa. When the sun is shining and I start waving my hands, I look at my shadow. So everything is the reverse. When I wave my white hand, the shadow is facing me and the shadow is waving its left hand. So everything is reversed in the shade. So he says to Bezalel, your name is Bezalel, Bezalel kel ha'isa, you're like the shadow. The Rebbeinu Shlom really told me faker, that I should first make the Mishkan and then make the Kelim. And I reversed it when I said it to you. You understood, Bezalel kel ha'isa, you understood that I said it wrong. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu say it backwards? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say faker? So the Rishonim asked that in the end of Brachas, when the Gemara has that comment, Bezalel kel ha'isa. So some of the Rishonim say, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say, L'chadudei, He wanted to see if Bitzala Batchap, that he was saying it in the wrong order. And he chap. Bitzala was very young. According to a medrash, I think it was just barely bar mitzvah. And he was so sharp at the age of 13, he knew that Moshe Rabbeinu had said it backwards. And they said, he said, name Rabbeinu Soloveitchik. No, that's not the pshat. The pshat is like this. The Mishkan is supposed to be a location to house all the kelim. So first you have to formulate there's a din of kelim. You have to say there's a mizbach haktoris, and there's a mizbach ha'oila, there's a kir b'kanon, there's a menorah, there's a shulchan, and all the various kelim, and the hechal, and the azara, all the kelim. Once you have an institution of kelim, then you can talk about, like, once I have a pair of tefillin, so I can say, according to Abaye, Hazmana Milsehi, I buy a tefillin zekel. I didn't put the tefillin into the tefillin zekel yet. But since I own a pair of tefillin, and I bought a tefillin zekel, so the tefillin zekel is already called Tashmishi Gedusha. I'm mazman the tefillin zekel to put the tefillin in. It's not yet Mishamish, but Poyal Mamish the tefillin, but there's a concept of I have tefillin. So I buy a whole Hazmana Milsehi, it's already called Tashmishi Gedusha. Of the person died already, and you buy tachrichim, so it's called Misham Shehames, because it's designated to serve as Misham Shehames. But before you formulate a din of kelim, so you can formulate a din of a heichal, a beis hamikdosh, a place to house the kelim. First you have to formulate in halacha that there is a din of klei hamishkan, and then you can talk about a mishkan. So Moshe Rabbeinu formulated it, first the kelim, and then the mishkan, the binyan, but he didn't mean that that's the way it has to be built. No, Bezalel understood, first you have to make the binyan, so that when you make the kelim, you have a place to put the kelim. If you're going to first make the mizbeach, and then the kikir v'kana, and then the shulchan, and then the menorah, you won't have a place to put it, it's going to rain out, it's going to snow on it, it's going to get ruined. So it's understood, you have to first build the mishkan, and then make the kelim. But the mishkan is senseless unless you have first an institutional pidin of klei hamishkan. You have to have a concept of furniture. So first Moshe Rabbeinu says there are kelim, there's furniture that has to go in the mishkan, and then there's a din hamishkan to house all the kelim. But lemaisa b'pol mamish, when you're building it, if it's understood, you have to first build the mishkan so that when you make each kli, you'll be able to put it into the mishkan right away. That's what Rav Dovah Soloveitchik said. It wasn't l'chidudei, like some of the Balei HaTosfos say. The Moshe Rabbeinu reversed it to see how sharp Bezalel was, will he chap, that he said it backwards. And he said, yeah, Bezalel Kelo Yisa, he understood that it was the wrong order. No, Al-Pidin was the right order. He had to first formulate that there is an institution of Klei HaMishkan, and then you can talk about the Mishkan. Yeah, that's the din of Hazmana. Hazmana, we pass on Hazmana, love Milsehi. What about Matona? You have an old shul, and the community moved 10 blocks away. They have a new shul over there. What are you going to do with the old shul? So the Zion Tuba here, B'mai Menanshe Hilir, vote, they're going to give away the old shul to so-and-so. He should use it as his apartment. Why are they giving away the old shul to Pliny as a Matona? He must have been such a major supporter of the shul. Whenever they needed money, he always gave the money, and he always donated. So they owe him a debt of gratitude. He gave them much more than they were going to give him. So they give him a matana, the shul. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. Matana, what if the Zion Tuvi here, but Mohammed Anshar here, decide they want to give away the shul as tonet, someone, a major donor for their congregation. So that was Machlokes Pligibor, Rav Acher v'Ravina. They had a Machlokes Osar. Once they didn't have allowed to. You have to be Moitzi, the Beisak, old Beisak Nesses from Kedusha, by being Poided, just like Pidyon Hegdish. You have to be Poided. Pidyon Hegdish, usually the Kedusha goes off from the Hegdish and goes on to the money. Here the Kedusha is going to go off from the Beisak Nesses and then it's going to disappear from the money. So it's going to be, we spoke last week or 2 weeks ago, it's like Pidyon Petach Hamor. There's a machlok at the end of the first parak in Bechoris. First parak in Bechoris takes care of the din of Pidyon Petach Hamor. So Petach Hamor before Pidyon is a machlok, it's a beauty of Shimon, machlok is a tanaim, is it also Bahano or not? So we paskan osabano. So what do you do? Tidyam petach amar tifta b'seh, you give a seh. So the isa hano should go off from the petach amar, go on to the seh. But it doesn't go on to the seh. So that's what one Tana says, what kind of pidyon is that? Pidyon always is, the thing was osabano, then the kedusha goes from the thing that's osabano on to the other thing that you paid it with. Here we say, petach amar, we're saying like Rav Yehuda against Rav Shimon, petach amar before pidyon is osabano. Then when you make the pidyon, it takes up the isa hano. The isa hano is not chal on the money. It's not chal on the tifta b'seh. It's not chal on the tifta b'seh. It's just, it's mafkeh the kedusha. So that's what it is over here by the Zion Tuva here. But my menan sheho'ir, you have to do a pidyon. You have to give a zeh tachazeh. It takes off the kedusha from the Beis HaKnesses. And then the kedusha should really go on to the money, but then it disappears from the money also. So that's matone. Can the Zion Tuva here be my menanche? Can they decide? They have a good reason. Can they decide to give the old shul, which still has kedushas Beis HaKnesses? Can they decide to give it be matone to one of the big supporters who over the years gave up way more for the shul? So pligi baravach Rabbi Lechad Osar Lechad Shoy Manli Osar Behei Tifka Kedush Osar. You have to have a pidyon in order to take off the Yisra Hanor. He didn't give anything zetachazeh, so it's going to be also enough. But we paskin like the one who shori. Uman the shori, why does he say it's permissible? Obviously, he loved the habale hanom, and if the community had not gained tremendously from this man, he must be one of the main supporters of the shul. He must have given a fortune money in the past lahaviyavle. They would never have given him the shul b'matona. He must have paid for the shul 10 times over. And out of Hakar Satav, you want to give him back the shul, which is 10% of what he gave to the shul. And he's still going to support the shul. Since we're giving him the shul in exchange for all the money that he gave in the past, so that's like Kizvini. That's like if the shul would have sold the old shul. If the Zayin Tuvia B'mayim Ananshi would have sold the old shul, there would have been Mafkir the whole Kedusha. So this is considered like selling, because if not for the fact that he was such a major donor in the past, they would certainly never have decided to give him the shul b'matana. So that's how we pass it. Matana is kishvini. Now the Gemara has a famous brisa. All Judaica that you buy in a Judaica store is divided into two categories. One, some of them are tashmishi kedusha, some of them are Tashmishei Mitzvah. Tana Rabbanan. Tashmishei Mitzvah Nizrokim. After it's hooked to them, we learn out from that pasuk, Chag HaSukkos Tasa L'cho, that the Sukkos Hukkos L'chag, Chag is a Korban Chagiga, Shlomim. So even though Shlomim is Kochim Kanim, there's no Me'ila, but L'nenim, it's also L'chatchila to get Hanua. That's a big Machlekes of Rishonim. That Mishnah Me'ila. It says, Kochim Kalim, Leinenim, Leimoilim, you're not allowed to get Hanoa from it. But if you get Hanoa, there's no penalty. You don't have to pay Karim the Chaimesh. And you don't have to bring Hashem the Elois. What about that Isa, Leinenim? So the Mishnah has a lot of dinim like that, Leinenim, Leimoilim. So almost all of them, the Leinenim is only made the Rabbonim. It's an Isa, the Rabbonim. By Kochim Kalim, it's a major Machlaikis HaRishayim. The Rashba at the end of the second parak in Kiddushin quotes a machlekes Rishonim whether Kochim Kalim Leinanim is an Isa Hanoa Mira Torah or it's an Isa de Rabbonim. Rav Soloveitchik said he heard from his grandfather Rav Chaim that it's inconceivable that it should be only the Rabbonim. It's absolutely vaday that it's their ice. Inconceivable height, inconceivable morgan. But here for the Bali Ateis, it held that the Leinanim is only Mira Rabbonim. Rav Chaim held it's inconceivable. He held it's vaday. And Issa deraisa, but here for the Rishonim held that the Issa Hanoah by Kochim Kalim is only made the Rabbonim. So anyway, that's the mocker that Tashmishei Mitzvah Bizman Mitzvason, the Esrig and the Hadassim hooked to the Mitzvason, the Sukkah is hooked to the Mitzvason, that's the original din. You learn a Mamatzina from Sukkah, Geshem Shachal Shem Shamayim Alachagige Kalchal Shem Shamayim Alasukkah. So from Sukkah, you learn a Mamatzina to Esrig and to Hadassim, also hooked to the Mitzvasai. Well, let's say you have a shofar, and I'm going to use the shofar year after year. So it's still this moment. I have a talis. So Kol Zman the talis is still useful. It's a tashmishe mitzvah, this man mitzvah. So let's say I have an old talis. It have a little hole in the back. I was wearing that talis for many years, has a little hole, doesn't look nice. It's gray, it's yellow, it's dirty. I'll send it to the cleaners. They won't be able to do a good job. It's old, frayed. So I want to donate it to the shul. So the gabbai doesn't want it. He doesn't want an old, worn-out talis. I want to give it b'matana to the poor man who lives around the corner. He doesn't want it either. He wants me to give him a new talis. He doesn't want an old talis. So I have an old talis that used to be hooked to the mitzvah, so, and I don't plan to use it anymore. So that's what the Braisa says, Tashmishe mitzvah nizrokin. After the Zman HaMitzvah is up, it's no longer hooked to the mitzvah. So strictly speaking, what do you do with the Esrig or the Hadassim after Sukkah Zav? You throw it in the garbage. Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't throw it in the garbage together with the dirty diapers, but together with the chicken bones or the fish bones. You should put it in a separate plastic bag and then throw it in the garbage. You shouldn't throw it in the dirty garbage together with the other stuff. But strictly speaking, you don't put it in Shemus. You only put in Shemus Tashmishi Kedusha. Let's say have an old, I remember once someone had an old Gilas Esther and he put it in the Shemus. So somebody was laughing, Gilas Esther doesn't have any Shem Hashem in it, so why do they put it in the Shemus? That's a mistake. Gilas Esther is from the Tanakh, from Kisvei HaKodesh, has Psukim, even though it doesn't have Shem Hashem, but it still belongs in the Shemus. You're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage? That's Tashmishi Kedusha. On the Gnosim, you have to put it in Shemus. So that's what the Brisa says. Tashmisha mitzvah nizrokim. After this mana mitzvah is up, then al pidin, it only had kedusha temporarily. This mana mitzvah. After this mana mitzvah is up, no longer has. However, tashmisha kedusha on the Gnosim, you have to put them in Shemus. You're not allowed to throw them out. Ve'elahem tashmisha mitzvah. What are examples of tashmisha mitzvah? So it says sukkah, lulav, shofar, and tzitzis. Elehen Tashmisha Kedusha. What are examples? Duluskine Svarim. If you have a container, let's say you have a Megillah Esther, and you contain the Megillah Esther, I have a wooden, I have two Megillahs I got as gifts. So one has a wooden container, and one has a silver container. So the silver container and the wooden container is Duluskine Svarim. That's like a tefillin zekel. So tefillin have kedusha. So the tefillin zekel has kedusha. Talis does not have kedusha. So the talis zekel does not have kedusha. The tefillin has kedusha. So the tefillin zekel has tashmishi kedusha. I put the tefillin zekel inside the talis zekel. So the talis zekel holds the tefillin as well. So let the talis zekel be a tashmishi kedusha. That's a mistake. No. That's not correct. That's what the Gemara is going to say. If it's tashmish, the tashmish, I have the tefillin in a cloth tefillin zekel, which I have a plastic cover on, and then I put that tefillin zekel with the plastic cover inside the talis zekel, which is cloth, which has also a plastic cover. So if the protection of the tefillin is twice removed from the tefillin, the cloth tefillin zekel is tashmishi kedusha. The plastic cover on top of the cloth is tashmish to tashmish. It's protecting the tashmishi kedusha, which in turn is protecting the tefillin. And then the talazekel, the two talazekels, the cloth one and the plastic one, are protecting the plastic cover, which is protecting the cloth cover, which is protecting the tefillin. So that's what the Gemara calls tashmish to tashmish. If it's twice removed, it doesn't have the status of Tashmishi Kedusha. Only if it's Mamish Tashmishi Kedusha. Yeah, how did the Gemara know that this is so? That Tashmishi Kedusha have Kedusha, but if it's twice removed, it doesn't have Kedusha. Let's say you have, there's a different Gemara, it's not here. Let's say you have an Aron Kodesh and you have a Parichas in front. So the Aron Kodesh holds the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is the Gufei Kedusha. Aron Kodesh holds the Sefer Torah. So the wooden or the metal or in Kodesh, now they have a safe that they use, or in Kodesh with the safe with the combination. So that if you have a wooden or a metal or in Kodesh, so that has a status of Tashmishi Kedusha because it holds the safe Torah. Then you have a Pareches on the outside in front of the Aron Kodesh. So the Pareches is Meshamesh, the Aron Kodesh, which in turn is Meshamish the Sefer Torah. So the Pereches is twice removed, is Tashmish the Tashmish. So in the days of the Gemara, the practice, I think we spoke about this once, days of the Gemara, the practice used to be that they didn't have a mentala to put on the Shulchan. So every 3 days a week, Sheni v'Chamishi and Shabbos, they would take out the Sefer Torah for Kriyas HaTorah. They wouldn't put it down on the Shulchan right away. They would take down the Pereches in front of the Aron Kodesh every 3 days a week, put it on top of the Shulchan, then put the Sefer Torah on top of the Pereches. So the Pereches was directly touching the Sefer Torah. They didn't want to put the Sefer Torah directly on the Shulchan. They felt it's not Bekovedik. So they put the Pereches in front of the Aron Kodesh on top of the Shulchan, put the Sefer Torah on the Pereches. So in the days of the Gemara, the Pereches had the status of Tashmishi Kedusha because it was directly Mishamesh the Sefer Torah. Today, it says in Yeridei, we don't do that anymore. We have a mapa. We have a cloth mapa on top of the Shulchan all the time. We never take down the Pereches to put it on top of the Shulchan in order to put the Sefer Torah. So by us, the Pereches in front of the Aron Kodesh really is a Tashmish to Tashmish, and it doesn't have Kedusha. That's why the Pereches in the Mishkan, Pereches in the Beis HaMikdosh, always had Shatnas in it. So years ago, I don't know if it's still the same, years ago they told me here in America, if you would order a Pereches from the store and you don't tell them any instructions one way or the other, the likelihood is, a high 90% likelihood, that they're going to put in Shatnas into the Pereches. Zechel HaMikdosh, that's their minik. They always put in Shatnas because in the Beis HaMikdosh, the Pereches always had Shatnas. Are you allowed to have Shatnas in a curtain? Is that permissible? So strictly speaking, Shatnas is only prohibited. Begit kalayim Shatnas lo yale olecha, there's an Isa ha'aloha. And then there's another pasuk, la silba Shatnas, semra pishtimach. Not allowed to do levisha. So levisha is, I'm wearing a jacket that has Shatnas. I'm wearing a sweater that has Shatnas. That's levisha. Aloha means if I have a blanket. That's ha'aloha. I go to the barber, and the barber puts a cloth. He's going to give me a haircut. He doesn't want all the hair to go on my clothing. So he puts a sheet on top of my clothing to protect me. So that's ha'aloha. So there's an Isa Levisha, and there's an Isa ha'aloha by Shatnas, two Isurim. And there are differences between the two. So, but a curtain, if you have a curtain in the house that's made from Shatnas, it's neither Levisha nor ha'aloha. So that should be mutter. So nonetheless, there's a Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Beitza. Why did the Chachamim prohibit a vilon? Why did they prohibit using curtains of Shatnas? It's neither Levisha nor ha'aloha. So the Gemara says, B'mtei shashamish mischamim kenegda. Sometimes, if you have a worker in the house, and it's chilly, there's no steam in the house, and he doesn't have a sweater to keep him warm, so sometimes he'll stand next to the curtains and wrap himself in the curtains. So we don't permit you to make curtains in your home from Shatnas, because someone by mistake may wrap himself, if it's chilly, and he doesn't have a sweater, he may wrap himself in the curtain, and it'll be a violation of ha'aloha. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, but since the Pereches in the Shul in the days of the Gemara used to be a Tashmishi Kedusha, because they used to take it down 3 times a week and put it on the Shulchan and put the Sefer Torah directly on top of the Pereches, so you're not allowed to wrap yourself in the Pereches in the Shul. It's Tashmishi Kedusha. You're not allowed to use it for your own personal purposes. So the Hashash, the Hashamish Mischamim Keneg, that doesn't apply, so you're permitted to make Pereches from Shatnas. But it says in Yeridei that Bizman Hazeh is no longer the case. No one ever takes down the Pereches to put it on the Shulchan. We'll put a talis on the Shulchan. Or we always have a mapa kibur. We always have a mapa on the Shulchan. But you'll never take down the Pereches. So Bizman Hazeh, the Pereches is really a Tashmish to Tashmish. And it's Mutabando. So the Shamish is allowed to be Mischamim Kenegdo. So he's allowed to, then you shouldn't be allowed to make it from Shatnas. So whenever you order, whenever the shul orders a pereches, they really order specify, make sure you don't put in any shatnas. So that's a discussion in Yeridei, in Hilchas Sefer Torah. In the third Chelek Yeridei, they talk about that. It really shouldn't be proper to it's highly unlikely that anybody's going to stand up in shul next to the parochas and wrap himself in the curtain. It's far-fetched. Probably not going to happen in a million years. But strictly speaking, it really ought to be also. So that's a discussion. There used to be a minig in Europe. In many places, they used to use the parochas for a chuppah. You would see old parochas from Europe had four metal rings, circular rings in the four corners, and that was when they had a wedding, so they would take the parochas from the shul and put the poles under the four metal circles in the four corners. So the parochas and the Beis HaKnesses would serve as the cloth on top of the chuppah. So that's a question. That's a question. If it's tashmish to tashmish, then it's permissible. Then it doesn't have kedushas. It doesn't have the kedusha of tashmishi kedusha. But in the days of the Gemara, that it was tashmishi kedusha, you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. Many felt even mizmanazet that it's tashmish to tashmish. It doesn't have the status of tashmishi kedusha. So it's not like a mental of the Sefer Torah. If you would still do like they did in the days of the Gemara, that they would put it on every single time they lay, they would take down the parechas and put it on the shulchan, then would have had the status of tashmishi kedusha. But they don't do that, but it still has kedusha's beis haknesses. So beis haknesses also, you shouldn't really use it for your own purposes. So that was a big machlokes in Europe. Is it permissible to use the parochas from the Aron Kodesh? It's bizman as tashmish to tashmish. But it should be like the pews in the shul, like the chairs. The chairs have a kedushas beis haknesses. Let's say you're not allowed to burn the chairs. If you the batik kinesias in Europe used to be made from wood. So if you're gonna break noite tzeven men amizbeach in zanisa, l'sasin kein l'shem alakechem. It says in Chumash, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to see a lot of Avodah Zarah that says, "Anitastam is mizbechosam, shibartam is matzevosam, asher ain't tisur from veish, psila lehem tegadem, ibartam ishmo, men amok mahu, losasam ken lashem alakecha." So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos HaKotzor, the Rambam never writes it anywhere else. In the beginning, the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos in Arabic, so we use the Hebrew translation. So then he has the Minyan HaMitzvos B'Ktzara. In the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, he has a few pages. He has a Kitza Nimrots of the Sefer HaMitzvos. When he has the Minyan HaMitzvos B'Ktzara, he quotes this din, Lo Sasakein Hashem Elokechem, Asar the Noite Tzeven Min HaMizbeach, O Mibote Kenesias, O Mibote Midrashas. He never writes it anywhere else, only in the Minyan HaMitzvos B'Ktzara. Rav Soloveitchik pointed it out. The Stechemet quotes Achrayim pointed it out. It would appear from the Rambam, he puts it in the Minyan HaMitzvos B'Ktzara. It sounds like he holds that the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is their Isa, and this din, L'sasakem L'Hashem Elokechem, applies Min HaTorah to Bote Kenesias, to Bote Midrasha, not only to Beis HaMikdosh, even to Bote Kenesias, to Bote Midrasha. The Ran, on Perek B'nei Ho'ir, the Ran on the Rif, writes that Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is only Mid the Rabbanah, the whole thing. And the Pasuk that in Yecheskel, Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send the Jews into Golus. They won't have a Beis HaMikdash. However, they'll have the miniature Beis HaMikdash. Vayilahem leMikdash miyat. I have the miniature Beis HaMikdash. Eidei Bati Genesis, Bati Midrash, Shabbat Bavel. So the Ran says that's only an Asmachta. That's not really the Pshat and the Pasuk. And the whole institution of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is only Midi Rabbonim. So that's Yodua, the Chaye Odom, quotes from the Sefer Yireim, from Rav Lezer Mimitz. Rav Lezer Mimitz was the Talmud of the Rabbein HaTam. He was a Bala Tesis. Those who quote him every so often. So Rav Lezer Mimitz writes in the Sefer Yireim as a Sefer HaMitzvos. He tries to list off which are the 613 mitzvahs. So in the Sefer Yireim, he writes that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is Min HaTorah. That Pasuk, Ve'elahem L'migdash Me'ah, that's a real din deris. And this Rambam, with the Rambam and the Minyan HaMitzvos B'Ktzara, the only place where he writes it. He never writes it in the Mishnah Torah, never writes it in the Mor Nebuchim. He writes in the Minyan HaMitzvos B'Ktzara that Noite Tzevim Ramizbech applies Min HaTorah to Bote Kenesias and Bote Midrashas. It sounds like it's a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is Min HaTorah. Yeah. So that's what some hold, even though the Pareches is Tashmish the Tashmish, so it doesn't have the status like a Mentale of the Sefer Torah, but it has a status like Dishes Beis HaKnesses. The Pareches is part of the furniture in the shul, so you should, also you shouldn't use it for a chuppah. Shouldn't be allowed to use it for a chuppah. But that was a common practice in many of the communities. They would use the Pareches, and that's why the Pareches had four metal rings in the four corners to hold the poles of the chuppah. And when you look in Ibn Ezer, when they talk about Nisuin, there's a different opinion. There's Erisin and there's Nisuin. Erisin, you give a ring. Erisin is Kiddushin. Chosin gives a ring, and you say, Harei Mekudesh Esli, so that's Erisin. And then in the days of the Tanakh, till the days of the Goyinim, they would wait a year. And at the end of the year, they would do Nisuin. And Nisuin, she becomes switches to become an Eish HaSish B'deis HaBaal. Erisin, she's an Eish HaSish Alo B'deis HaBaal. And when it says Beis HaZewishtoi, the Gemara says that that only applies to a Nisua. Because that's the definition of a Nisua. An Eish HaSish B'deis HaBaal, as opposed to an Eish HaSish Alo B'deis HaBaal. I remember Rav Nissen Alpert, Zechon Lebroch, used to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva. He learned for Moshe many years. So he gave a Moshe L'mad of a Dona. The Gemara has in Bava Kamma a whole discussion. If somebody stole my automobile, I don't know where it is. If somebody stole my behemoth, I don't know where it is. So Shali the Eina Bishusi. If I have access to it, I know it's in my garage, then it's Shali a Bishusi, I have a full bilis. If someone stole it, so it's Eina Bishusi, I don't know where it is. So it's still Shali, the automobile is mine, but it's Eina Bishusi. So he said there's a concept of Shaloi Bishusi, an incomplete bilis, and Shaloi Eina Bishusi. So that's over here by marriage. An Arusa is called an Eish HaSish Shelo B'Beis HaBaal. And an Nesua is an Eish HaSish B'Beis HaBaal. That's what Gemara says. Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to be married, because it says, V'chipa ba'adoi u'biyad beisa beisa zu ishtoi. That's the first Mishnah in Yuma. Beisa zu ishtoi. So the Gemara says there in Yuma, you need Nisuin. If the Kohen Gadol only has Erisin with his wife, he doesn't have Nisuin, so he can't do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. It has to be beisa zu ishtoi. Has to be an Isua.
Those places that have a plastic or a thick glass on top of the mapa on the shulchan, so the mapa itself would be a tashmish to tashmish.
Could be. It could be. That's right. The plastic is a tashmishi because it holds the Sefer Torah directly, and the mapa is twice removed, yeah. The Or Sameach has a Sefer HaChumash that's called Meshe Chochma. So he says, where did the Chazal get this idea from? That only Tashmish and Kedusha have Kedusha, but Tashmish, the Tashmish, twice removed, doesn't have Kedusha. Where'd they get it from? So he says, Or Sameach was a Kohen. So he says, they got it from the institution of Kohuna and Leviah. Because the Kohanim are Mishamesh and the Beis HaMikdash, they're Makrib the Karbonis. The Karbonis have Kedusha. And the Kohanim are Mishamesh. So the Kohanim have Kedusha, and the Truma that the Kohanim get and they eat also has Kedusha. You're not allowed to eat it Betuma. And a Zar is not permitted to eat Truma. But Levim are Nesunim, Nesunim, Haman, and Levim are Mishamesh, the Kohanim, who in turn are Mishamesh, the Korbanis. So since the Levim are twice removed, so he claims there's no such thing as Kedushas Leviyah. There's only Shevet Levi. There's a Sefer Kedushas Levi. A Levi Yitzchak Berdichever, who was the Mechutna of the Balatani, their children were married together. The name of his Sefer HaChumash is Kedushas Levi. So the Or Sameach says, there is no such thing. There's only Shevet Levi. There's no such thing as Kedushas Levi. So that's why the Chazal have a comment on the Pasuk. And the end of Parshas Korach, I think the Pasuk says, you have to give Ma'aser Rishon to the Levim, and says, V'chalta Moisa b'chol makim. So Rashi quotes from Dimar, V'chalta Moisa b'chol makim, afilu b'beis ha-kvoris. The Levim are permitted to eat the Ma'aserishin even in the cemetery. Why? Because the Levim have no Kedusha, no such thing as Kedusha as Levi, so therefore the Ma'aserishin doesn't have any Kedusha. So it's permissible to eat it betuma, and it's permissible for a Zar to eat the Ma'aserishin. If you don't give the Ma'aserishin to a Levi, that's Gezel HaShevet. You're cheating the Levim. But once you give it to the Levi, he can give it to a Yisrael T. It's not like Truma that has Kedusha. So that's the Or Sameach claims. from the institution of Leviim and Ma'aseh Rishon, that Levi doesn't have any Kedushas Levi, and Ma'aseh Rishon doesn't have any Kedusha, Mutar Lezarim, and it's Mutar L'Tmeim, that shows that Tashmish, the Tashmish doesn't have Kedusha. That's not really accepted, Alpi Pashtas. We really hold not like that, Ursa Meach. We hold that there are two concepts, there's Kedushas Levi and the Shevet Levi. If you have a Kohen who marries a Grusha, and his children are halolim, so the Pashto says the children belong to Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. Whoever has Kedushas Kuhuna, that's a Taisus in the end of Pcheris. Whoever has Kedushas Kuhuna doesn't have Kedushas Leviya. But he's Shevet Levi. There's two different things. There's Shevet Levi and Kedushas Levi. So the Pashtos, we assume there is such a thing as Kedushas Levi, not like the Ursa Meach. Ursa Meach was a Kohen, so he said no such thing as Kedushas Levi. Is Kedushas Kuhuna and the Shevet Levi. There's a Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Loza ben Azaria. Whom do you give Ma'aseh Rishon to? A Levi. Are you Yotze if you give it to a Kohen? So Gemara points out, B'chov Talad Mekamis Nikru Kohanim Levim. The 24 Psukim in Tanakh, where the Kohanim are referred to as HaKohanim HaLeviim. The Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. That's a thesis like that. Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. But they have Kedushas Kuhuna. And if you have a Kohen Cholol, he doesn't have Kedushas Kuhuna, and he doesn't have Kedushas Levi, but he's Shevet Levi. So that was the Prashtas, that's the Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Loza ben Azaria. Al Yeyotze the Din Deraisa of Matnas Leviya. If you give it to a Kohen. So Rabbi Loza ben Azaria holds, I think, that yes. And we pass like Rabbi Akiva, no. You have to give Ma'aseh Rishon to the one who has Kedushas Levi. Not enough if he's Shevet Levi. You have to give it to someone who has Kedushas Levi. So a Kohen does not. A Kohen only has Kedushas Kuhuna. He doesn't have Kedushas Levi. But he belongs to Shevet Levi. So there are differences. We don't really accept that. We assume that they're two different things, Kedushas Levi and Shevet Levi.
Rav Schechter, if somebody's traveling and they need to go to the bathroom and they have their tefillin, let's say at an airport, yeah. Is it sufficient to have, the tefillin is in a tefillin bag, and that tefillin bag is inside of their luggage? Is that sufficient?
Sure, yeah. The Gemara even says, for shmiras tefillin. I'm afraid if I leave the tefillin out in the waiting room, Rabbi Zayn, someone may come and throw it in the garbage. So then the Gemara says to guard the tefillin to make sure they don't throw it out in the garbage, I'm allowed to take it in my hand to the Beis HaKisa. If, let's say I'm in the Beis Medrash and I have a siddur in my pocket and I have to go to the Beis HaKisa. So even if it's kiss b'toch kiss, the Mishnah Berurah says it's not right to go into the bathroom. If you're in a makam hamishtam, you're in shul, and you can take the sitter out of your pocket, out of your wallet, and leave it in the shul. No one's going to walk off with it. The more correct is you should take it out. You shouldn't even rely on kiss b'toch kiss. Kiss b'toch kiss is a din in the Gemara, a totally different din. That tashmish hamita for married people is only mutter if you have a sefer Torah in the room, a tefillin if it's kiss b'toch kiss. But to take a sefer into the Beis HaKisei, even kiss b'toch kiss, you shouldn't take it in if you're in a makam mishtam there. And if you're makam sheni mishtam, you don't even need kiss b'toch kiss. It's better to have the tefillin and the tefillin's echo, but even if it's not, you would be allowed to take it in your hands to be misham at the tefillin. Okay, maybe we'll stop here and we'll have to discuss. There's a Ramban in the end of Masechas Moed Katan, the Melchames, on the bottom of the page in the Rif, claims that there's a machlokes hatanoim in the brisa in Maseches Moches, where the tzitzis is tashmishi mitzvah or tashmishi kedusha. We'll have to discuss that. What is the determining factor? How did the tanoim decide which Judaica belong to the category of tashmishi mitzvah, which belong to the category of tashmishi kedusha? Okay, so next week we'll probably talk in Yoni Purim. So the week after, we'll get back to Megillah. Next time, believe not, next week, we'll prepare for Purim.
The Shechter, if you're not allowed to give Misa to the Kohen rather than the Levi, didn't Ezra do that? Didn't he counsel the Levium?
He penalized the Levium. Yeah.
He gave the Kohanim, didn't he?
Yeah. So the Gemara says, what was the nature of the penalty? So if you hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that you can either, Minatori, you have a choice to either give Maaser Rishon to a Kohen or to a Levi. So the penalty of that is, well, you should only give to a Kohen. And if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that Minatori, you're only Yotze, if you give Maaser Rishon to a Levi, you give to a Kohen, you're not Yotze. So the nature of the penalty was, you have an option. You can either give it to a Kohen or a Levi. So he was Oike Dovim Minatori. He told him not to fulfill the mitzvah. According to Rabbi Akiva, you're only into the mitzvah of giving away Maaser Rishon if you give to a Levi. And Ezra changed the din. He said you can be into by giving to a Kohen also. Yesh Korach Lakor B'Shevi Al Tasa. He said not to fulfill the mitzvah, the Raisa, of giving Maaser Rishon to the Levi. He allows you to give it to a Kohen. Yeah, so the Rambam writes an interesting lashon. The Rambam writes, Ezra konas has halavim shebidoro. The penalty of Ezra was only harasha for his generation. So the Minchas Chinuch asks, that's against the Gemara. The Gemara in Ksubis in the second paragraph talks in the days of the Tanaim. The penalty of Ezra was still in place. How does the Rambam say, Ezra konas has halavim shebidoro, that you don't give them the Maaser Rishon, you have an option, you have a choice either to give it to a Kohen or to a Levi. So I think the Minchas Chinuch answers, the Rambam understood Bidoro for a few thousand years, in the days of Ezra, Bizbias HaMashiach. Why do you call it Bidoro? The Rambam holds that Trumas and Mises, Bizmanazeh, is only Midirabonim. So the whole thing is the Rabbonim to begin with. The Rambam holds from the Afila Bizman Ezra, Afila Bizman Baisheni, Trumas and Mises, but only the Rabbonim. So he has a right to say whatever he wants. But the Mos HaMashiach, when Trumas and Mises will become again their Isa, then the Takanas Ezra can't apply. Ezra has no right to undo the Din der Isa Lidoris. This long generation is a Hayro Ashur for a few thousand years. Ezra was the beginning of the Baisheni period. It's already 2,000 years since Churban Baisheni. And the Baisheni was a few hundred centuries, a few centuries before the Common Era. So it was over 2,000 years, over 2,500 years probably. A long, long time, yeah. The Gemara's tradition was that the Baisheni lasted 420 years. But in the Goyish history books, they say it lasted way longer. It lasted 165 years longer than 420 years. So that's a historical issue. Okay, so believe that the next week we'll have to do in Yoni Purim. And then we'll go back to Perek B'nei Hoyer. We'll continue with the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses.
Good.
Thank you.
Kol Tov.
Yeah. Then Jason Pershing, you're the question. Mm-hmm.